Ahoy, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us this week. My guest today is Linda McDaniel. Now, a lot of you that have been to prison, you've got a story to tell, and Linda is an expert at helping people take that story and put it into a book. So this is a pretty cool show. If you've ever aspired to write about the things that have happened with you and even the success that you've had in your reintegration, this is the show for you. We're going to be talking with Linda McDaniel right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Hey, everybody, and welcome back. Have you ever thought about making your life story into a book, or maybe even you've had something happen to you that was interesting? Well, our guest today, Linda McDaniel, can show you how to do that. Linda is an author of over 1,000 articles and a dozen books, and has a passion for helping people learn how to write, or get through a project anyway. Linda, thank you for joining us here on The Journey of Hope today.
Well, thank you, Rodney. I appreciate this opportunity to help people get started with writing their book or sharing their memoir.
Great. What are the biggest obstacles? You know, everybody's got a story to tell, it seems like. And I know a lot of people that started writing books and never finished. What are the biggest obstacles that keep people from being able to do something like this?
Well, you know, I've been a writer most of my life, but I've been a coach now for about 7 years. And I was kind of surprised, but the number one thing that stops people isn't time. You'd think it was, oh, they're so busy. And that's certainly number two as far as stopping people from finishing those books. But the number one is confidence, or to put that another way, an overriding fear of writing. And I was astonished by that, but when I thought about my early days as a writer, I had it too. And I think it comes from, gosh, our thoughts are going to be down in, on paper, or at least on a screen, and it's a little bit intimidating. How do we sound? How do we present ourselves? And that kind of thing. So I work with people to assure them that even writers they love to read, even now, still harbor a little bit of lack of confidence or just a little bit of trouble getting started. Who cares about what I have to say? All those things go into this kind of fear of writing. So that's number one. And then, as I mentioned, the second one is the time crunch, because, gosh, everybody's busy today. And so it really comes down to commitment and finding time. And I've got some great techniques that I can just kind of give you a quick overview of.
Sure.
Of how people can carve out that time. And it really, it does start with a dedication, because you can set up all kinds of things, whether it's to lose weight or to start exercising or whatever. And, of course, it involves follow-through. But what I encourage people to do, here's two great tips. And one of them is to simply write 100 words a day for 100 days. And there's something psychological about this, because our brain says, oh, sure, I can write 100 words. And so you start writing, and then before you know it, you've actually written 300. But you got over that barrier. I call it, it's really the principle of inertia. Inertia is a writer's worst enemy and best friend. Okay, mm-hmm. Inertia is the writer's worst enemy until we start writing. So in other words, a body at rest stays at rest. So if we haven't started, it's our worst enemy. But it becomes our best friend when a body in motion stays in motion. So in other words, when you start writing those 100 words, then next thing you know, you've really written 300 or 500. So it's really kind of both a psychological trick, a trick of time and energy and inertia, just getting over inertia.
Okay.
So that's one. And the other one is to just ask yourself to write for 40 minutes a day. Any time of the day, whenever, just make yourself write for 40 minutes. Now, the reason we choose 40 minutes is it's based on research that a lot of things, like there's this technique called the Pomodoro technique that says, oh, you've got to work for 30 minutes. Because anything longer than that, our enthusiasm, our passion, whatever, can start to wane. But if you go that extra 10 minutes to make it 40 minutes, you see, the engine's already warmed up. And so the extra 10 minutes is just pure performance. So either 30 or, as we recommend, 40 minutes a day. And gee whiz, who can't find that if you're dedicated to the idea of sharing your story and helping other people?
Okay, great. Now, there are a couple of different ways to go about getting published. There seems to be a lot of companies out there that you can give them some money and they'll help you get published. And then there's the conventional way of being published. What is the best way to do that, the self-publishing or the conventional way?
Well, you know, the conventional publishing has its advantages in the sense that you don't lay out any money. And in fact, if you've got a really compelling story and you find a good literary agent, you just may get what's called an advance to help you have money while you write it. But there's a lot of gatekeepers, and you're going to have up to 2 years or more until your book actually comes out. That's just the way the publishing industry is set up. And the beauty of self-publishing is that if you really put your mind to it, you can have a book in 6 months,
right?
Or even less, you know, depending on how long it is. So you don't have the gatekeepers. You make more money ultimately, because you have to pay that advance back with royalties, and the royalties on most conventionally published books aren't very high.
Right.
Whereas when you self-publish, you get a much larger percentage. It varies, but it can be as high as 50-60% of the sale.
Mm-hmm.
And so more and more people are saying, gosh, I never made it through those gatekeepers anyway. I'm just going to plow ahead. And there's some great companies like CreateSpace, which is the arm of Amazon, the self-publishing arm of Amazon,
mm-hmm.
and a company I like called Book Baby, just mm-hmm. like it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those companies are reputable. I will say, be careful. There are some not so reputable self-publishing companies out there, just mm-hmm. like any business has mm-hmm. its bad apples.
Okay. I've always wondered, what happens in the conventional way of publishing a book and you get an advance, if you don't make enough royalties to pay back the advance, what happens?
Oh, well, that's the gamble they take.
Okay.
You know, so, yeah. So you're okay. You're not going to be out of pocket. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break, Linda. When we come back, I want to get some tips from you on how to get started with a writing project. We're talking with Linda McDaniel today, and she can help some people through a writing project. You want to write a book? This is the person to talk to. We're going to take a quick break. My name's Rodney Mathers. We'll be right back after this on The Journey of Hope. I sure do like getting mail from you. You can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Drop me a line. Welcome back. We're talking with Linda McDaniel today, and Linda has just got a passion for helping people finish that writing project, get it started, get through it, and finish it. And I wanted to get some tips from Linda now on how to just get the things started. Linda, how do you start to write a book? What do you do?
Well, one of my favorite tips, and people, you should see, like, their eyes light up when I tell them this. It's like we need to be given permission to start anywhere. People think they have to start at the beginning, and I can see the logic, you know, like where we just are always taught that way. But when I tell people to start where they're passionate, maybe that's the story that is the central theme of their book, but they're passionate about it. Start there, and again, then the inertia will be the body in motion, stays in motion, it's your best friend, and you keep writing. So every day when you start writing, write where you're passionate. Plunge in the middle, the end, the beginning, It doesn't matter, because you can pull all that together.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, honor where you're excited and write there. The second thing is to write your first draft as fast as you can. Don't worry about quality, because here's another thing that makes people's eyes light out. You know those best-selling authors you love to read?
Right.
They write terrible first drafts, too. So you don't have to feel like, oh, there's something wrong with me. My first draft isn't good enough. I think I'll just forget about this project. I hear that all the time. Don't worry. Everybody writes bad first drafts. And so just write it fast, get it down, because the number one obstacle to getting a book finished or written is that tendency to pick it up, put it down, pick it up, let it go for a while, the energy just dissipates from it. So just write as fast as you can, because here's another thing I teach people, and that is good writing is really good editing. It's not good first draft. It's all those things you go back and make it really flow and make it more creative, tell another story, all those things. So write your first draft fast. One, that means you've finished the hardest part, and that's your first draft. Then go back and edit. And don't edit as you go, because you may be actually spending time editing things that you're later going to cut. So that's a complete waste of time.
Okay.
But it also slows down your creativity and your productivity. Just get that lousy first draft finished, and then the fun begins. Because, believe it or not, editing is fun. That's where you're free to add and subtract and to make a fresher story or add a simile or more exciting verbs.
Mm-hmm.
But don't worry about a thing while you're writing your first draft.
Okay, cool. That's very interesting. And you do talk about that there comes a point where you dress the writing up, right? And so that would be, you know, tips for doing that. You know, what if somebody is just, they don't know what a simile is? You know, how do you dress up the writing after you've done this first pass through that you're talking about and you go through and do the editing? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, if you're not familiar with similes, gosh, just Google it. You'll see a million good examples, but it's the kind of thing where you say something is like something. And the reason, let me give you an example. I love this story. A farmer was trying to explain, or a cattle farmer was trying to explain, why grass-fed cattle is healthier for the consumer than grain-fed. And people say, hey, what's wrong with grain? I eat it all the time. That doesn't. And the cattle farmer said, it's for a cow or a cattle to eat grain is like you're eating chocolate cake every day, three meals a day. And do you see how quickly you go, oh, my gosh, that must feel, oh, that's terrible. I bet they feel sick. And so that's a simile, using the word something is like something else.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason, one, it's colorful and it adds to your writing, but it's also, it helps bring your readers up to speed. So much faster than a long-winded technical explanation.
Mm-hmm.
And then stories dress up your writing. And so I'm sure your readers have lots of anecdotes and stories and situations that they could share. And then their readers would be on their wavelength faster and have more empathy. Stories just light. They've proven that stories light up our brains, like they've done MRI tests. And you could give the same information in kind of a lecture form, and the brain stays kind of level and everything. You tell that same information in story form, and it lights up. So our brains love stories.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a way to dress up your writing. And then, as I mentioned earlier, make your verbs do more work. Instead of saying he is overweight, you could say his waistband pinches. And it says the same kind of thing, but it's more lively. And that's what's going to keep people turning the pages, because they enjoy your messaging. But again, don't worry about these early on. And you can get books or hire people to help you or whatever. So you can learn about this. But your most important thing is to get that first draft down and tell stories.
What works best, fiction or experiences that people have actually had for, say, first-time writers? What seems... Yeah.
Yeah, definitely first-time writers. Most of us do better with nonfiction.
Okay.
Fiction is a wonderful craft that, frankly, takes a little bit more skill unless you're just one of those naturals, and they do exist. So I don't want to imply that people can't do that, but I think most people, gosh, they've been reading articles, they've been reading books, they studied textbooks in school. They have a sense of nonfiction books that come a little bit more naturally to a beginner writer.
Okay.
But those nonfiction books can be filled with true life stories. Mm-hmm. That are almost like a cross between fiction and nonfiction in that they share some of the same storytelling elements.
Mm-hmm.
But one is more factual and true.
I see.
And memoirs, essays, just a nonfiction book that's explaining some kind of situation that the writer has answers for, or that kind of thing.
Well, Linda, how do people find out more about you and what it is that you do? Where can we find you on the internet? How do we do that?
Yeah, I have two websites, thebookcatalyst.com. That would actually be www.bookcatalyst.com. So that's bookcatalyst.com. And then lyndamcdaniel.com is also a website where I help people with their writing and coaching and that kind of thing.
Very cool. Linda McDaniel, helping us learn how to do a little bit of writing. I encourage you to check out her websites and see what she has to offer out there. Linda, very informative. Thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope today.
Oh, I appreciate this opportunity, Rodney. Thank you so much, and best wishes to you and all your listeners.
Thank you. We're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, we got just a little bit more right after this. My name is Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Well, we've come to the end of another show. I want to thank my special guest today, Linda McDaniel, and all of you out there that have got a story to tell about your incarceration. She's a person that you need to be talking to. She's the one that can get you hooked up on writing that book. I know people that have started books. I'm one of them that have never finished, and she's a good person to know if you want to go down that road. Hey, listen, I want to remind you, if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next week right here on the Journey of Hope.